Question is Stephanie Scherer, who will speak on Vision Care Without Borders, a community partnership for the development of an optical service in rural Nicaragua.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Scherer. I am actually an undergraduate student at Valparaiso University in northwestern Indiana. And for about the past year, I've been working on a project for a community partnership for the development of an optical service in a rural Nicaraguan community. And I don't have any financial relationships to disclose for this project. The purpose of this project is to prevent disorders of the eyes related to dust and smoke and ultraviolet light exposure while improving vision among the community members. Just a short little background about this particular area. As I've mentioned, it is a rural community. Due to that, most of the community members participate in outdoor labor, such as farming, and many meals are prepared over an open wood fire, oftentimes without proper ventilation. And many of the areas of the community are connected by dirt roads. And all of these factors that I've mentioned lead to two of the very common eye problems that I found in the community, which are cataracts and pterygium. Valparaiso University partnered with an optical lab in the Midwest to select frames and lenses and tools to take down to Nicaragua with us to distribute prescription eyeglasses. One of our main purposes was to find It was important for us to find or frames that were affordable and universal for the population down there, and which were also aesthetically pleasing, because as many of us know, if you give a person a pair of eyeglasses that aren't attractive, regardless if that person is poor or rich, they're still not going to want to wear them. And if you give them a pair of eyeglasses they don't want to wear, their vision isn't going to be helped by those eyeglasses that they don't wear. So it was, I know it sounds kind of trivial, but it was important for us to find something that was aesthetically pleasing for the patients. And to accomplish that, we actually, in the States, actually picked out a few prototypes and sent them down to a liaison we have in that visits Nicaragua often. And she took the actual frames that we are selecting to the community members that we are going to be serving, and pretty much had them pre-approve them, say, yes, we like these, yes, we would wear them. So then we went from there with that. In addition to partnering with the optical lab, we also gathered donations to buy sunglasses. We also gathered donations of actual eye drops and medications from local eye care professionals in Valparaiso. Method of this project was an optometrist from a neighboring Nicaraguan city actually came and worked with me when I was in Nicaragua and performed the eye exams. He visited with the patient and performed the professional eye exam and then determined if there was a prescription necessary for the patient or if the patient didn't need a prescription and just needed to be educated or whatever the patient needed. He determined that, and then he relayed that information to me, and then I, with a translator or another student who's working with me, would talk with the patient and describe to them if they were getting eyeglasses, that these are your eyeglasses. We explain to them how to care for their eyeglasses so that they would last for the longest time possible. We also explained to them that it was important for them to wear sunglasses. We distributed sunglasses or various types of eye protection. We also had roll-ups, which are just the things you get in the doctor's office for when your pupils are dilated. So we distributed those to people we gave eyeglasses to wear behind their eyeglasses in the sun. So I told them, you know, you should wear your roll-ups, you should wear your eyeglasses or your sunglasses, because if you wear those while you're out working on the farm, the development of cataracts and pterygium will be delayed. And we also taught patients how to properly clean out their eyes, because as I mentioned before, there are a lot of dirt roads and a lot of smoke from the cooking, and it was important for them to realize that if they could just clean out their eyes, then there wouldn't be as much irritation. So, and we distributed eye drops for that purpose, but it was also important for them to understand that once the little bottle of eye drops was gone and we weren't there to give them another bottle of eye drops, they could just use clean water and a little solution that we told them how to make up to clean out their eyes in their homes. And patients did pay 40 cordobas, which is the local currency there, for their eye exam and any prescriptions we gave them or any other supplies we gave them. And 19 cordobas is about a dollar right now, so they are paying approximately $2 for an eye exam and then any supplies that were required. Over the course of 2 days, we held clinic on 2 days, I and the optometrist saw 38 patients, 16 of which were males and 22 females. We had a range of age distributions, like we had children and adults coming in and teenagers, but the majority of our patients were adults, with a large number being over 50. As I mentioned, we saw 38 patients, and we distributed 40 pairs of prescription eyeglasses and then 17 pairs of actual sunglasses. That count doesn't include the roll-ups we gave out because we had hundreds of those, so we were just giving them out left and right to whoever needed them. And this picture is kind of a little setup we had going on. We are set up in a classroom, and you can see the optometrist performing an eye exam with the patient, and then there are two students there, and we kept track of patient lists and logistics as to who's paid and who got what glasses and everything that was going on. This is the breakdown of prescriptions that we handed out. As you can see, the majority of the prescriptions were positive for farsighted patients, and it was interesting to me, being a complete novice going down there in eye care, that the majority of the prescriptions were for farsighted people, and there aren't as many nearsighted people in Nicaragua as I'm used to in my communities back here in the United States. And it was also really interesting that, yes, we do have quite a few prescriptions that were $350, but I'm used to people, especially like in my classes and my friends, who just have horribly bad vision when they don't have their glasses and their prescriptions are $550 or even farther in either direction. And it was interesting to see that there weren't as many optical corrective issues for me in this community. However, on the contrary, like I said, there was pterygium cataracts, which we have in the States as well, but we have everywhere there are surgeries to correct those. But these people can't pay for the surgeries, and these diseases seem to be more common because of their environment. Many people in their late adulthood had cataracts or pterygium, and we did occasionally see patients my age who had the development of cataracts and the beginnings of pterygium, and even people younger than me that were getting pterygium already. So that's the counterbalance to them maybe not having spectacle correction. In the future, we plan to continue to build relationships with this community in Nicaragua. Eventually, we'd like to be able to sustain our relationships and this project to the point where the optical service can continue even in the absence of the Valparaiso University student group that goes down there every year. And it's also very important for us to obtain community members' perspectives on this project that we're doing. It's very important for us to ask them what they want, instead of us decide what we think they need before we go down there. Because if it's easy for us to decide, oh, you guys have this problem, so this is what we're going to do for you, and that's great, but then we get down there, and it's like, if that's not what the community wants, or that's not what the community thinks is their greatest need, they won't take ownership of the project, and it will terminate. So that's one of our future plans, is to just continue to build relationships with them so that we can come up with a system that's going to be sustainable and that they want to take ownership of, and that they are really happy to be a part of to help their community. And then obviously we're going to continue to emphasize prevention of eye diseases as well as vision correction. Prevention is a huge thing, as I've mentioned already, because the cataracts and the pterygium are both things that can be delayed if not prevented completely by simple procedures such as protection from UV light and cleaning out your eyes when they get dusty and dirty and gucky in their environment. All right, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions you may have now.
Question here.
Yes.
I know your numbers are kind of small,
Like percentage-wise?
Number-wise.
Number-wise, okay.
Of those, what portion were operable?
Unfortunately, I personally don't know the numbers. Not an eye care professional, so it's hard for me to say which ones that I saw were operational or not, but in talking to the optometrist that I was working with, at least the patients we saw, it sounded like most of them were operational. It was just a matter of the particular people we serve are the, like, this whole community is poor, but the particular people we serve are the poorest of the poor, so it's more of a logistical, financial aspect of them not being able to pay for the cataract surgery, and which some, like, it would be awesome if we had the ability to set up something where we could do the surgeries for them, but we're not at the point right now where we, as a group, can do that. Low vision, like people who just can't see.
So below vision, below say 660 or 720 vision.
Not really. I recall one patient out of, I know we only saw 40 patients, but one patient out of the 2 days who just really had severely horrible vision. I don't remember what her actual prescription was, but it was correctable, but not with the supplies we had because we only went. Okay, I'm sorry. I haven't studied optometry. That's why there's a little. Sorry. Yeah. But no, just simple answer. We didn't encounter anyone that I know of that couldn't be corrected.
My question is, how rural was this area?
How rural? They, I can't disclose the exact area just for patient confidentiality, but it was a rural area and they did have access to water. Water was not an issue with us as it was in the desert climates we heard about earlier. Our process, however, was just simple, boiling of the water because they don't have a sanitation system, so it was just a matter of making sure there was clean water and just simply rinsing their eyes out just with clean water. It's our main educational motive.
We have about 5 minutes left in the whole session, so I'd like to encourage any questions for all of the panel members to close out the session. So thank you very much. So if anybody has a question remaining, if you can raise your hand and we'll address it to any member of the panel. Kavita.
Yeah, I have a question for that. Even if they go ahead and use the clean water, they're not going to see the results of washing their eyes, doing anything to the treatment.
I'm not saying that washing the eyes are going to reverse what's already happened. It's more of a thing where we are getting, well, we told this to everyone, but it was especially important for us to tell the people who hadn't yet developed prodromes or, eye irritations, to tell them, if you do this, you can maybe prevent the development of some of the things that are ailing here.
One of the things that's really difficult is that when these people are in, I'm talking about very rural settings, their priorities are going ahead and getting water, getting food, getting things. Boiling water, washing their eyes, and things like that would not.
Yes, I understand that.
So, how much?
Also, I think vision is a priority.
Yeah.
So in general? Unfortunately.
But one of the other things I wanted to ask you is, did you also advise them to wear hats?
Yes, we did. We advised them with simple lifestyle changes because a lot of the women are washing clothes by hand, and we told them things like if you could wash clothes or peel vegetables or something sitting in the shade instead of in the sun, which is not something that makes them necessarily go out of their way and have to do something and they don't have time to do. It's just a matter of, you know, sitting under the tree, which there are lots of trees around, sitting under a tree instead of out in the open. We did also tell them if they could wear a wide-brimmed hat while they're out in the field or doing any work, that would be really helpful. The way we educated the community members on this was, I actually had a flyer that my liaison down in Nicaragua actually produced, that it was a picture flyer and it had a row or a column of don'ts and a column of do's. And if there were pictures, because some of the people are illiterate in the community, of just, you know, a person out in the sun with no sun protection working, and then a person that had a hat on under a tree working, and simple things like that, and like setting your glasses, you know, just simple things like lenses down so they get scratched up as opposed to setting them. So obviously there's always room for improvement, and it's one of the difficult things is having the community members develop a sense of desire to do these preventative things, but that's something that we're constantly working on and trying to improve.
Gentlemen, and then over here.
A question for Dr. Tiagi. Very impressive in terms of the integration that's developed in tools and collaboration. I realize India is a very large country, but I also know there's some real expertise in that kind of approach. I'm curious if, for example, you work with the L.V. Prasad Institute in Hyderabad and their UN Collaborating Center, and what those kinds of relationships look like.
The organizations that you're talking about are very, very large IT organizations, L.V. Prasad and Arvind and Tamil Nadu. They are large organizations, but they basically focus on IAM. But they are trying to integrate with other organizations that are working on grassroots level, but doing other things as well in addition to IAM. We are one of them, so we do get a lot of training and capacity and support from L.V. Prasad, from Arvind, from Shankar, which is also in Tamil Nadu. So they are organizations of a level which can provide tertiary level care and also provide outreach screening activities, but they are not into other sets of activities. But in India now there is a momentum building up to have this partnership, to have this networking in which more and more NGOs can get the support. They can have a small eye care component within their work, but can do other activities as well. This is how it is, going further. I don't know if that answers the questions.
No, that's very helpful.
And last question of the formal session.
Yeah, my question is to Jerry for the ambassador.
Is Jerry still with us?
I'll get to me. That's okay. I'll get to me.
Okay, well, thank you all for a very informative and interesting session. And I would encourage those of you who have collaborative interest to stay for a few minutes and exchange emails and continue the dialogue. So thank you very much.
Just for your Thank you. Yes.
I'm not a doctor.
Are you a presenter?
Yeah, I'm a presenter.
Okay. Okay. Which one are you presenting?
First one.
This must have been the last one. How do I get